The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We are here for the second hour. And earlier, we talked a little bit about this op-ed by the president and athletic director at Notre Dame talking about NIL and how to save such a great sport like college athletics. It's interesting that our next guest, Dan Wetzel, talked to Jack Swarbrick on his podcast earlier. And good afternoon, Dan. Did Jack give you a heads up that he was going to write an op-ed in the New York Times? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yes, he did. So we spent the whole hour on the College Football Inquirer discussing it with him, both his ideas of what to do and actually a pretty wide-ranging stuff from scheduling to scholarships, whether they're even needed, or it was pretty good. You know, he's a very, very interesting guy, very smart guy, obviously, very influential guy. So I have a lot of respect for him, even if I had to push back in as polite a manner as I could. You know, I'm very polite, Paul.
I agree. I love talking to Jack Swarbrick because he's just so smart and he gets right to it. Now, tell me how you do that, because I had the recently retired president at Penn State on the other day, and he came up with some half-baked idea to, you know, give X number of dollars. We need to stop all the money rush and give a lot back. And I'm like, well, you were in the Big Ten for 10 years, and before that you were at Florida State. But I didn't have enough nerve because So tell me, as Jack was telling you this story, which we all know is never going to come to fruition, how did you deal with it?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of it you just let go. I mean, you know, the NFL needs to create a minor league. Okay, that's great. I need to get paid as well as Roger Goodell. You know, if we're just going to come up with wave a magic wand, and I don't even know why that would be. Why would you not want great athletes also on your campus? You know, my big thing with a lot of this stuff is, where's the problem? They tell you there's a problem, and I don't know where the problem is. This is some first world complaints we're getting from these guys. Their television revenue is up. Their television ratings are up. Their stadiums are full. The excitement level of the sport sports are high. They have all these kids getting educated. Everything, colleges in general, these major colleges have more and more applicants, alumni donations, everything, right? And then they tell you it's all broken and we need Congress to come fix it. And they say, well, it's going to get bad. And they said that 5 years, they said that 10 years ago with stipends. They said that 5 years ago with academic awards. They said that 2 years ago with NIL. And if you look at the recruiting rankings, if anything, the talent is spreading out more. You look at the NCAA basketball tournament, there's more parity. 11 different conferences in the Sweet 16. All of the dire predictions they came up with. Alabama will get every good player. Well, they did before, by the way. All that different stuff they come up with never comes to fruition, yet they keep claiming there's a problem. And that's really my number one thing, is show me where the problem is, and I'll start maybe listening to your solution. But I don't see one. It's a lot of fear-mongering.
And I understand some people doing it, but of all people, Jack Swarbrick, who really, if he said tonight, I'd like to be in a conference and the bids need to be in by 6 a.m. in the morning, he would be busy tomorrow morning.
He certainly would. He would 100% have his pick of the litter. He could just pick up some phone calls and say, what do we want to do here? And he could probably bring a school with him. You know, that's how much Notre Dame says, we're coming and we're bringing Stanford with us. They're all going to do it. So it's all there. A lot of the arguments in the article and some of the stuff they come up with, and one of them I find, you know, particularly... It sounds good if you don't know what you're talking about, or if you know. But it's like, well, if we don't do something about this revenue, if we have to share the money with the football players in any way, we might have to cut. We're gonna have to cut the women's sports back. And you say, well, actually, the decision to fund women's sports is completely yours. You can decide whether you want to fund it or not. You can decide whether any of these schools want to invest in this, invest in more coaches, maybe pay their coaches less. Nobody is telling you you must spend this much money on football and this much money on another sport. It's wholly your decision. And all of these schools, at least the ones we're really talking about, have hundreds of millions, if not billions, in endowment money and funding. They have very wealthy alumni. They have all sorts of ways to make the money up to fund whatever the heck they want. Notre Dame's most famous building is literally has a golden roof, okay? And so to sit there and say, well, if you don't do what I say, the field hockey team might get it. You go, actually, if you guys want a field hockey team, you can fund 15 field hockey teams. So I don't know where this becomes a congressional situation or a dire concern that must affect the way football is run in this country. And I think, again, I just go back to show me the problem when all you guys are doing is bringing in more and more and more money.
And speaking of that, what did he tell you about Notre Dame and that and the conference future? Because they're at the vanguard of that, and they seem pretty happy being an independent.
He said there were four ways it could happen that he would join a conference. One is papal intervention, which is a good line. So unless the Pope says you're joining a conference, maybe that's what the SEC or Big Ten should try to work that route.
Good idea.
Other than that, he says, you know, it's pretty basic. They need to have access to the championship. They need a path to win a national championship. If you have a path to win a national championship, you can recruit at a high level. And that is true for both Notre Dame football, as it has been in the past, and with the playoff coming, to, say, Gonzaga basketball, which is in a small mid-major conference, but because they can get in the NCAAs each year and compete for a title, they routinely have, you know, lottery picks and things like that, right? You can recruit if you have that. You just need a path to the national title. Other than that, they need to be able to schedule games. He says, I've never called a school and not had them say, yes, we'd like to play you. Obviously, when Notre Dame comes to town, love them or hate them, or because you either love them or hate them, it's the biggest ticket in years. And then third, their media revenue has to be at least in striking distance of the SEC and Big Ten. And I think they're pretty confident in South Bend that NBC will provide that in their next television revenue deal. So I don't think see them going anywhere until they absolutely have to.
Dan, back to another point that he alluded to, and everybody does, and I know there's a House committee coming up here soon. And I'm not saying any of that really matters, but it seems like it's just now standard fare for administrators to lean on Congress when we all know the obvious when you deal with Congress. So in relation to NIL, transfer portal, and all the issues that bug coaches to death, is anything, or if anything isn't going to change, what could change?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think you could have a uniform law. That, you know, one thing that Congress could do that I guess would make some sense is every state has the same law. But these laws are really not causing any trouble. We're not seeing, like, schools in this state being completely hamstrung by a law. First off, no one is prosecuting the law. And I would love to see, say, the Attorney General of, say, Florida all of a sudden decide we're going to charge, you know, Florida State for some NIL violation or something. Not a politically expedient way to do things or prudent way to do things. So I guess you could do that. But again, everything else is sort of where they have a hard time coming up with a problem other than we don't like it. We like doing it this way, but we don't like doing this. Is a coach inconvenienced? Do they have to work harder in different ways? You listen to some of the basketball coaches where transfers have been so much, and obviously the NCAA has done something and said, hey, you can only transfer once now without a penalty. That is a NCAA-created problem, not a federally needed mandate or something. But you see these go, wow, it's hard. I don't know my roster until August. Well, that's very inconvenient for you doing your job. I get that. But you're also paid millions of dollars to do it. Lots of things change in the world. Like college football and basketball coaches get upset because they can't do the same job that was done the same way in 1973 or something. And nobody does their job the same way. Things change in the world. And just because you have to do your job a little differently doesn't mean you just, you know, throw up your hands and tell everybody's doomed and I'm going to walk away from this and I'm not doing this anymore. And I need Congress to save us and make sure we can still do the same way we did it 20 years, 20, 30, 40 years ago, because this is the way we like it. These athletes have incredible market. I'm a free market guy. I'm a deregulating guy. And there's a lot of people like that. And you say, why do we have to have all these rules? Why do we have to control the market? If these kids are worth more, let them be worth more. No innocent people did not die because Bryce Young was in a Dr. Pepper commercial, or, you know, Jaden Rashada was offered a bunch of money that didn't pan out. Like, nothing really bad happened. It's just that's how life works.
Dan Wetzel, always a fantastic conversation, this time in particular. Dan, thank you very much. We head to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've already had John Feinstein on. You heard Jordan, Dan Wetzel, many more guests to come as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Results from the Bud region, and Larry, who we were just listening to, got in there at the end of the gym call we were playing, moves on. K-Dub over Trey. Augie over Hugh. That's considered somewhat of an upset, and Squirrel wins the bottom of that regional. You can vote for today's bracket. This is the Ted Williams bracket. Jim, of course, Cat Daddy, the favorite in that one, against Chaplain Mack. You got Andre, and at the bottom of that, you got Jerome. I-Man is up next.
Paul, all those brackets are pretty creative, especially the titles and the way y'all set everybody up. Congrats to the winners and congrats to those who are moving on and those who are not moving on. You know, Paul, I was listening yesterday, and Jim and Legend had I don't know if that was a phone feud or what it was, but I don't know that there was a declared winner in that deal. And the reason I say that is because they both held back so well. So it was kind of equal, because you and I both know them two guys. You put them together, you got a fire in the fireplace that could get heated.
Well, the only thing that I didn't like about it was this, that Jim tried to talk over Legend, and in the end he moved, he just left. But I think that it would be a fascinating conversation if they would just get on there, each go for 30 or 40 seconds, and then let the other person talk.
Listen, Paul, when you fight, they ain't 30 and 40 seconds.
Well,
you grab a chair, you grab a pool stick, you might even go to the kitchen and get a damn coffee cup. You fighting is fighting.
Okay.
And then you might even hit somebody with a $2 bottle of water, smart water at that. You know, one of your callers earlier said that he was quoting Jim about opinions. And you know what? Sometimes I listen to these people that call in, some of the brain dead, you know, the Wonderlickers out there that just, they've tried for 10 years to get through, and you finally got them through. I don't think they would know an opinion from a hemorrhoid. But anyway, let's move on. Logan brought up something that was real interesting. I've been thinking about it. Sometimes when I got a little studio, you know, all the gear and everything. When I go over there, I usually put on four or five songs of something inspiring, and I love the Beatles. And yesterday, I was quite disappointed with that. But, you know, yesterday was a fantastic song. I think it's one of the most recorded songs in the history of, and it's a great tune. And it is pure McCartney. But I was thinking about, you know, the five Beatles tunes that I would put on. And I'd start with Revolution, because you kick everything off with a guitar lick like that. And good flowing song. Go into a little George Harrison's Old Brown Shoe. Then go to John and Yoko. There's something about John and Yoko that I like. It's just got a kind of a folksy feel. It rhythms, it rhymes, it rolls, and it's foot tapping. And then you get down to the last two of that. Walrus has got to be one of them. There's nothing out there more appealing than I Am a Walrus.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And this may shock you. The encore of that set would be a George Harrison tune that you can't name. You'd never guess.
Well, I'm sure I can't.
I mean mine.
Now, I do like While My Guitar Gently Weeps, or Slowly Weeps,
I like
whatever
that
name is.
But the thing about I Mean Mine is two different ideas, and that's what these
guys
did.
Well, but I mean, we're talking about two people that are of different interests. I'm a lyrics person because that's what I do. You're listening to the musical part of it, which I have no basis of understanding.
Well, I tell you what, you would understand this if you listen to I Mean Mine. It's a little ballad thing that George starts off with. Yeah. And then Ringo does this little...
Well, anything that Ringo's involved with, I'm going to tune out.
Well, he's just playing drums.
Okay.
But when those four guys break off into that jam on that tune, that's who they really are. I mean, that's four guys live just responding off of one another in the studio. That is pure badass. Now I'm going to throw you a curve. What are your two favorite Paul Simon tunes?
My favorite is Sounds of Silence.
Right.
I like The Boxer. I like Graceland a little
Absolutely.
Bit later on.
See, you picked out two right there. Those are the two that I wrote down.
Wow.
Boxer and Graceland. Graceland is a fantastic song.
It really is. I agree.
That's a great album. That is a fantastic album.
I listen to that a lot.
Anybody out there that's never listened to it, go listen to it. You get all of it on YouTube. Graceland is just pure throwdown, fantastic, creative album. Paul, have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate it. As we continue here on Rockline, Van Halen coming up next. Right now, let's go to Dale in Colorado.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Great show, really, man. Really appreciate what you do every day. Really love your show.
Thank you.
So I'm thinking the Beatles or the Stones, really. I think you kind of look like Mick Jagger with less hair.
Wow. I think Nick's got a few more moves than I do.
Well, I mean, seriously, Bobby, if you had to choose. Beatles
well,
I've
never seen the Beatles, and I've seen the Stones three times, and I will say that I've never seen anything quite like a Stones concert. But I would probably, I mean, it's a matter of, it's a great, I mean, I'm not trying to duck your question. I would probably listen to the Stones if I just was listening to music. I think, I mean, there's so many different songs that are just epic. And by the way, I the Beatles stand alone, but I would probably pick the Stones.
Of course they do. Of course they do. And I bet you can dance just like me, Paul. Come on.
I would like to be able to, yeah.
Come on, Paul, bust a move.
I have seen Jagger at various points of his career, and I don't know if there's anybody I admire more that can do what he does at his age. Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Miss Pat next.
Hey, Paul. I promise not to hang up after 10 seconds, but thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And if you don't hang up on me before I finish, and it won't take me long. I actually called to whine about Squirrel calling me a whiner yesterday. He must have been thinking about me a lot over the last year, because remember a year ago when he called you and told everybody that he didn't like me?
I must confess, I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember very well. But anyway, he did. So then today on Twitter, he told me I reminded him of your caller, Peggy. Mm. Now, Peggy is the girl from Tennessee, I believe. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, I'll take that as a compliment. Then, on Twitter, he sent me a picture of feet at the beach. They looked a lot like my feet. Even had my summer nail polish color on. But I know it was early or late spring because I didn't have my summer tan on my feet yet. So, you think he has a foot fetish?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that, but I am going to hang up on you first. I just had to do that. We've had quite a show. John Feinstein joined us earlier talking about Rick Barnes. Also, some strong comments on Brandon Miller, which upset pretty much everybody in the audience. We've also talked to Dan Wetzel, Jordan Rogers. Let's check in with Trey next. Good afternoon.
So is Miss Pat trying to tell us that Squirrel is doing some Twitter trolling? Is that what's going on there, Paul?
I don't follow Twitter that closely. So, and not only do I not know that, Trey, I think you know what my next line is going to be.
I understand. Paul, I'm feeling blessed today. I had a great checkup with a pulmonary doctor and a cardiologist today. I don't have to go back for another 6 months.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations, and we're all very happy to hear that.
Yeah, Paul, and Augie sounded more like himself yesterday, and I want to wish him continued prayers because I miss Augie when he would call in, so continued prayers for Augie. But Paul, that guy Feinstein, and then I want to talk to you about the bracket. He made a comment, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, that Alabama said they didn't punish him because he didn't commit a crime. I don't think I ever remember hearing that coming from anybody from Alabama. Matter of fact, I think they said they didn't punish him because they didn't feel like he did anything wrong. And that's two different incidents, don't you think, Paul?
Yeah, and I think in the end, there was no reason, nothing I've heard from Nate Oates indicated that they were upset with what Brandon Miller did or didn't do, because he, in their estimation, he didn't do anything.
Exactly. Now, the rules committee for your bracket, Paul, I think we need some change, some rules for next year, and I'm going to throw these out there. I think each one of your bracket should have a play-in match.
Okay.
And that play-in match should consist of, so you get eight more callers, the new callers,
Well, Trey, I appreciate you. We struggled to come up with this bracket, and you know, last year we only had, I think, 16. Is that right? So,
well, yeah. Paul,
so we expanded a bunch. And by the way, I'm fully aware that the callers take the bracket very seriously. Our entire goal with this bracket is just to have fun with it, and I know that everybody is following the direction of that, as we can tell from the last couple of callers. We are heading to a break. We have Sweet 16 games tonight, a couple of important ones. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. More of your phone calls, a couple more guests. We're pretty busy and off and rolling here on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next 3 years.
We welcome you back. And let's continue with more of your phone calls. Frank is in Connecticut. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for calling.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I was listening last week to one of your guests, and he initiated some conversation about the possibility of playing major college football games in the spring. That's
right.
Part of the schedule. I'm having a hard time grasping that because I only come from a background of being both a high school and college coach for 30 years. And I know traditionally that spring part of the season is always centered around player development. Now, whether that be athletically, academically, socially, getting your ducks in order, and now the possibility of playing a major game in the spring really opens up a lot of can of worms. I think that's
So, Frank, I think let me bring this up to you. I think he was about let's say a major school playing a group of five school or something like that in an exhibition.
Right.
But, and I want to ask you, because you've been on the field, I haven't. How would that be an issue from a preparation standpoint, but would the game be detrimental to what coaches are trying to accomplish?
Well, I just think it makes things more condensed, Paul. When you're involved in organizing and coaching football, time is your biggest enemy.
Okay.
And there could never be too much preparation. And not to mention the fact that if they're played that early in the season, if you develop, let's say a kid goes out there against a non-big-time school or an opponent and snaps his Achilles or
right.
gets a dislocated shoulder. I mean, you're talking about an awful lot of time and investment made.
Sure.
It's just, football's just, it's a different creature. The sport's just a different creature in terms of preparation.
So when you were coaching, what were you, tell us what you were trying to accomplish in the spring?
Well, in the spring was primarily player development. Now, by that, we'd get the guys on campus. We'd make sure that they understood where the ropes were, both academically and athletically, get them introduced to our systems of offense, defense, and special teams. We would test them for conditioning goals, and then we would just we'd get into competitions on the practice field, and that was primarily it. But it was invaluable in terms of when the end season came around.
As you watch now, Frank, do you see that being the case in spring? Because now what these coaches are dealing with, and this is a new phenomenon, is that they're getting these high school players who should, by all accounts, still be in high school in their senior year, and they're now on campus. Do you see that affecting? Because I mean, you have so many young players who are not really prepared for what they're dealing with in terms of a competition standpoint.
Exactly right. Took the words right out of my mouth. Preparation is still the key, and preparation and acclimation. You know that critical year from the senior year to freshman year in college on more than one level is going to be the key to your next 4 years if you left. So again, I just think it's a reach. I'm having a hard time grasping where the.
But I guess my point, Frank. I mean, let's say you have a top-notch quarterback who's now on the Alabama campus as opposed to being in high school in Florida or Connecticut, wherever. It seems to me that more than likely, wouldn't he just be playing high school baseball right now? Because that's, I mean, quarterbacks always
very much so.
Yeah,
there's the social end of it. Yeah, it's just to me. Again, that just, I didn't want to be boring or repetitive, but to me, the main emphasis of spring football was always player development.
Yeah.
I think if you get away from any of the phases of that development of the players, you're really putting some degree in jeopardy.
Well, that's fascinating. How long, you said you coached 30 years?
33 years.
33 years.
And then college, yeah.
I mean, we always talk about how everything is changing outside of the field. What changes have you seen on the field?
Well, I hadn't because I hadn't seen the changes that much on the field. I've been out of it now for maybe about 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
But as you said, at that level, at the Division I A level, between what's going on between NIL and players coming through the portal, and in addition to the time schedules that those guys are on, I can imagine it can't be an asset to them.
Really interesting. I'm in your debt for calling. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thanks, Paul.
Well, I always love those perspectives of coaches. 33 years as a coach, and you think about going back, that would be around 1990, and just what we've seen on the football field and around the game since then. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul?
Hey there. How are you?
Hey, is Randy working today?
I haven't seen Randy this week. I don't know. Maybe he just...
Yeah, I hope somebody there wiped AC's lipstick off your forehead.
Yeah, they did. We have somebody for that.
Did he try to insinuate that he's a Tennessee fan, or did I just take that wrong?
You ever had a conversation with somebody from another country? It takes a while to get the translation, and our translator was off today, so I had to. I'm still waiting for the audio.
I don't understand him. I thought he hated all Americans now.
Well, I don't either. Well, listen, thanks for the call. The one and only. Speaking of, we were talking to the coach here for 33 years. Talk about a guy that's seen it for, I'm afraid to guess how long. I know he's in his mid-90s. So Eddie Conyers rejoins us, as always, from Tuscaloosa. Eddie, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Went over to the pro day today. So
tell us about it.
My time in the 40 was a minute and 31 seconds, but that ain't bad. That ain't bad on crutches, you know.
I think you've improved your time on that.
Yeah, well, one of my crutches broke.
Okay.
That held me down a little bit. Hey, Paul, we can, I think, agree that football brings a tremendous amount of pleasure to a lot of people, particularly in the Southeast, Southwest, but throughout the whole country. But we've got a problem in Alabama, and I apologize for using your show as a sign bomb for
that's okay
putting this out, but it would be a real help. I know they have a problem here in Alabama with officials now to put a football game on. The number one real absolute necessity, you got to have players. You can play the game without the band or the cheerleaders. They no way knocking that because they add a lot to the game. But I think the other absolute is officials. You couldn't play the game without officials. And here in Alabama, we are having kind of a shortage of people that want to do it. And I'm using your program as a.
Well, how do you? Why are we at this point in time? Because I mean, I remember so many people that was. I mean, not necessarily for a full-time job, but people used to love to do that. What's going on?
Well, Paul, I wish I had a...
Eddie, you still there?
You with me?
Yeah. Eddie, you got to pay that cell phone bill, okay?
How about now?
Okay, you're better, yeah. Sound great.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I would pay. Paul, my credit's got so bad, people quit taking their cash.
Eddie, go.
Great line. But really, I'm real serious. I know here in Tuscaloosa, and I understand the state of Alabama is going to put out, people just, for some reason or other, they don't go into it. And I just like to use your program.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Got to be millions of people hear this and would maybe think about considering getting into officiating.
Well, I've been looking for a part-time job. Does it pay?
Like I say, my first game, I got $12. Now they get, I think, over $100 for the game.
Which
is not too bad. And doing that, you can find out what kind of an SOB you really are. A coach is straight
out
on that.
Hey, by the way, at the workouts today, did you see anybody that was give us the social calendar? Who was hanging around at pro day?
Well, I saw Coach Saban come out with Ellis Ponder.
Right.
I saw Burton Burns there, who used to coach.
Sure.
There were a lot of ex-Alabama players there, and Paul, just a real pleasure to see a lot of those guys. For goodness sakes, I wish I could think of some of the names now, some of the old players that came by. But it was quite impressive. And seeing these guys work out, my gosh, athletes, just unbelievable.
Well, Eddie,
it was a pleasure to be there.
I'm really glad you met. We are going to talk to you soon. Eddie Conder is one of our favorite people in the world. We're heading to a break right now. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back here on a Thursday afternoon. Susie is up next. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, first, is it Clyde in Texas that's a Tennessee fan?
I think so.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Because I met last week, he mentioned he wished he'd hear for some Tennessee fans. Well, I'm calling in because we got our big game tonight, and certainly I'm decked out in my colors and was subbing today. So, pretty exciting, Clyde and everybody else that's rooting for Big Orange tonight. I'm excited to watch them play in Madison Square Garden. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really we talked a lot about Tennessee early in the show with John Feinstein. He did this big story on Rick Barnes, which quite interesting in term, because Barnes does not come off as a real dynamic personality, even though he's a very good coach. And John really showed a different side of him that a lot of us had not seen.
Well, I'll have to catch that one because I was subbing. And so, and then I was driving, and I'm out at the park walking my dog. I'm in my car now, but I'll go back because I did.
Well, by the way, Susie, it involves a dog. It's a dog story. That's why it was so cool. And the story is, for those who didn't see the beginning of the show, John called Rick Barnes. He got back late, early in the morning. He went to church. He had the day off since Tennessee wasn't even sure who they were going to play yet. And he wanted to watch the game. And he and his wife, he'd been married 47 years. They found a stray dog who was in bad shape. They went to three different animal clinics, finally found a veterinarian who would treat the dog. There was a chip in the dog, so they were able to find the owner. And the dog is doing great, thanks to Rick Barnes.
Oh, my God, it'll be tears in my eyes, I can tell you that. But I'm definitely going to watch the beginning of the show when I get home and see that. And wish our boys well. I'm sure you're rooting
you bet.
For Tennessee tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks, Susie. And then after that, John Feinstein slammed Brandon Miller. So he gave away all the goodwill that he had. Catherine is up next. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm just wondering, with the inception now of this NIL, if we can say maybe that's a factor with the increase in incidents that these young men are encountering. I mean, they've got more money to purchase things that they weren't able to purchase before, like, you know, vehicles that can go really fast and, you know, other types of things. I'm just wondering what you might think.
Yeah, I've not really thought about that possibility. But, I mean, they've always been able to get things, but now they can get things not only legitimately, but I am not a sociologist, so I'll refrain from getting too deep into the culture. But it is something worth studying. I will grant you that.
Okay, well, anyway, it's just something that I was thinking about because, you know, they weren't able to do a lot of things before, and now they are.
Yeah, also, I think Catherine, I think we've always seen athletes getting in trouble, but some of it has to do with youth. But the trouble, we have seen some really bad cases lately, and I think it's worth exploring. Thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. We're halfway home on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.